Hallelujah. I don't know what y'all need me for tonight. Praise God. Man, wonderful, wonderful. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. How many of you kids were at camp, took it home with you? Say amen. Amen. I've seen several of you tonight. One young lady went to the altar. I looked at her. I said, you carried home? She said, yes, sir. Amen. And praise God. Got to live it when you get there. And praise the Lord tonight. And I want you to take your Bible, if you would, please. I'm going to share a little something with you here. Then I really feel something led on my heart. Preacher, is that ringing or buzzing? Or it's a curse? Okay. So we have that curse too. And usually somebody pushing the wrong button's our curse, though. But anyway, John chapter number 8, if you would. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Man, I've never been so glad in my life to get to Gateway Baptist Church. Never been. This the most excited I've ever been to be at Gateway Baptist Church. Well, it ain't because of that. I rode down here in a bus. It was 91 degrees inside of it. I walked in here and felt that air conditioning for all y'all got here and took all the good air. And man, I'm telling you. But it is an honor, such an honor to be with you tonight. I want to say real quick, Brother Steve, thank you. If that choir singing didn't get you stirred tonight, then praise God, you need to get saved. And I appreciate that, Brother Steve. Thank you so much. I love you and your family. Just love seeing what God's done with that, with your church and young people, and exciting. And thank God for that. I'm glad old time religion's alive and well. Amen. Amen. Then I want to thank the Paquette family. I usually don't have all of them together. I'm their second best pastor they've ever had. And I'm leaving Brother Clark out because daddies don't count. But their first pastor they ever had, their best, as far as I'm concerned in my life, would be Brother Ray Stewart. And when he got them to me, I promise you, they were already well-grounded and ready to serve God. And I have the privilege now, being their pastor, Brother James leads our music. He is the minister of music, song director, or whatever you want to call him. I like minister of music. Makes you sound like you're important. But anyway, and I just appreciate them. Thank God for Miss Victoria being here, and a young man with her from down in Florida, Brother Neil's church. And it's just so good to have them with us, getting ready to go back to college. And so you pray for them. She's been on a singing ministry team that's been traveling all over the country, and it's just a real joy to have them. Boy, I tell you, those girls sung for us. Man, I tell you, it was on. We appreciate what God did there. Chapter number 8 tonight, if you would, please, of the Gospel of John. Chapter number 8. You preachers know about this. I'm preaching something brand new. Never been tried on my people to find out if it was going well. Just you guys know what I'm talking about. But I just want to preach something. This has been on my heart. I don't really feel like I could go any other direction. And so usually that's all right. The Bible said Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now I want to read a little farther. Some people say, well, I wonder what the Lord wrote on the ground. I wonder what that was. Well, I know what it was. I didn't learn it from Bible college. I didn't learn it from anything else, but I know what he wrote on the ground. You say, preacher, what did he write? He wrote the Word of God. Say, how do you know that? Who wrote it? Say amen right there. I'm smarter than you thought I is. Amen. Yeah, somebody got ready to go ahead. Somebody was just waiting out to church. Like, you don't have no Bible for what he wrote? Yes, I do. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, he's without sin among you. Let him cast a stone at her. May I just say this to you, Fundamental Baptists? Can I just say this tonight? Let's make sure we realize that we are what we are by the grace of God. Let's not forget tonight that if we're anything and we accomplish anything and we do anything and if we are anything, let's be reminded that we are what we're. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I get so tired of meeting people, honestly, that every time somebody falls, every time somebody struggles, you know, can I just tell you this, buddy? You have but one bad decision. Amen. You not but one spot in your life from making a wrong. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, I'm glad God doesn't throw the clay away. I know you can get disqualified to preach. I know all that. I know you can do a lot of things you like, but listen, you never get to the place that Jesus is not going to love you. Amen. And I'm glad of that. Look back in the Word of God. There's enough God in here. All we've got to do is say Jesus, and it ought to be on. Amen. If I blow this, it's really going to mean I can't preach a lick, and I'm quitting. Bible says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm glad it's all gone. I'm glad it's finished. Thank God there is no condemnation. You might have walked in here messed up. You might have walked in here tonight and says there ain't no way. You might have walked in here and said, I don't belong. Honey, if that was the case, I don't belong neither. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hip, hip, hooray for Jesus. I say hip, hip, hooray for Jesus. My hope's not Pennsylvania Avenue. My hope is not in a man. My hope's in the Son of God, the King of glory, the Rose of Sharon, the Bright in the Morning Star. I say hip, hip, hooray for Jesus. If it ever dawned on you, if you're saved, you're not going to hell. If it ever dawned on you, though somebody else might drag up your past and somebody else might remember what you were, there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but if you want to, we'll take a minute and shout a while. I ought to be in hell. I ought to be burning in the charred walls of the damned. But thank God there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's different now. Yeah. Yeah, I know what some of you are doing right now. Some of you going back and remember what you were. Some of you going back right now and wonder, how in the world did you ever get here? How in the world did you ever get in that choir? How in the world did you ever get in the pulpit? How in the world did you? I'll tell you how, honey. It ain't nothing but grace, 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 and the blood. That's the only way we're here. There is therefore now no condemnation. Say, preacher, why ain't you moving on? I ain't got no liberty yet, amen. All I know is I ain't going to hell. I'm glad you're not going to hell. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I've been washed. I've been justified. I'm telling you, buddy, I'm glad I'm on the inside looking out. Amen, Brother Chisholm. Hallelujah. Oh, preacher, you're just trying to work somebody up. I got news for you, buddy. I don't even have to. Hey, if you got him down on the inside, all we got to do is turn a little bit and remind us what God has done. And amen up there and it's close to Jesus. Amen up there. Hallelujah. You ought to really be getting in it up there, man. You're a little closer than we are. Not really. Hallelujah. I think I want to preach. Just for a few minutes tonight. Miss Victoria, I'm going to need a song at the end. That song used to get you to sing quite a bit. You know what it is. I love you, darling. Praise God. Good to have you tonight. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this thought from this passage. The center of attention. But I want to preach a play on words tonight. For I am not preaching tonight on the C-E-N-T-E-R of attention. I'm preaching on the center of attention. S-I-N-N-E-R. And I want to say this tonight. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves sinners? Aren't you glad he loves sinners tonight? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence tonight. God, there is no doubt that you've ordained this service, every song. Lord, I want to thank you for what you've already done. Lord, I want to thank you tonight, God, for Brother Davey and Gateway and their heart to want to have this meeting. God, I want to thank you for what you did in my life a couple weeks ago up there in the mountains with these kids. God, I want to thank you for those you saved, called to preach. I want to thank you for the adults that got saved. I want to thank you for the preacher that came back home. God, I want to thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us a little bit. God, we need you. And I pray you'd help us tonight. As I preach tonight on the center of attention, God, you help us a little bit. I pray in Christ's name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Miss Wendy, toss me that water right there beside of you, please. Just throw it. Tonight, if the Lord allow for a few minutes, I want to preach a little while on this lady here, on this situation in the Word of God. And I want to say this tonight, and maybe it's just my ministry, I don't know, but it seems like that the Lord allows me to reach people sometime that I'm not sure some places would even want in their church or even care about, you know. I've been amazed in my life of just how many people that have come and said, "Preacher, we didn't feel welcome anywhere else, but we came and glad somebody loved us and somebody cared about it." And glad, listen, I want to say this. I think it's high time, and I don't have an axe to grind, but I'm going to grind a little bit of the corner of it. And I just want to say this right now. We as fundamental Christians need to realize that we do not know it all, that we do not have it all, that we ain't got it. I'm telling you, we got to get to the place of understand it. We're not the only ones going to heaven. People washed in the blood are going to heaven. We also got to understand that we don't have to compromise to love people. We can still love them and we can still preach what's right. But friend, there's a world out here that's dying and going to hell, and they need to walk in a place where somebody loves them. Amen. Real quickly, I want to give you this tonight. I don't know where this will go. We'll just see. I want you to see right here in the Word of God for just a moment this thought. I want you to see that the law made her the center of attention in her failure. The law made her the center of attention in her failure. I want you to look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" Can I say this? I believe with all my heart that what they said, matter of fact, I know if you go back and look at the law, there is no doubt what they were saying was exactly right. The law said that she ought to be stoned. The law said that she ought to die right there. The law said she was caught in adultery, and she ought to die right there. So I want you to see here in the Word of God, the law made her the center of attention in her failure. If it came right down to the law, every one of us tonight, if it came right down to the law, I don't care how many times you've been in a church, how many times you've read a Bible, how many times in your life you've learned the commandments, how many times you've done whatever you've done. If it came down to the law, if it came down to the law, all of us would be doomed and damned to a devil's hell. Amen. We had something interesting happen last week in our church. I think it was last week before, I can't remember. It's been a busy couple weeks, but one of my men, I'd come in from a meeting, and he called me on the phone. He drives one of our buses, and I could tell that he was crying. I could tell when he called me, he was tore up. And I said to him, I said, "Brother, it's all right." He's been through a lot of things in his life recently, but I knew that wasn't what it was, because I think things are great there now for him. And anyway, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I got to tell you something." He said, "Are you sitting down?" I said, "Yeah, I'm sitting." Thank you. Hallelujah. I said, "Yeah, I'm sitting down." He said, "What is it?" He said, "Preacher, I just got saved." You got to understand, he'd went down to the revival in Burlington several nights. He'd been sitting there. He went to the altar several nights during that meeting. When he went to the altar several nights, he said, "Preacher, I made a professional at 17. He said, "I'm convinced that I never got lost. I'm convinced I never got lost." And he said, "I made a profession." And he said, "I've been battling for years." He said, "I went down about 3 or 4 times during that revival, get saved." And he said, "My pride wouldn't let me do it." He said, "I went down to the altar," and he said, "My pride wouldn't let me do it." Our brother Justin Kimmer's here tonight, went down with him one night, and he said, "My pride wouldn't let me do it." He said, "Preacher, then you got up and preached sometimes. It's not that people are lost, but it's people just live so far away from God during the week, makes them feel like they are lost." And I said, "Well, that's true." He said, "But preacher, you should have never followed that message up with a message on pride." He said, "Because then you preached on pride." And he said, "I knew." And by the way, I want to say this night, 98% of the people who go to hell will not go to hell over alcohol. They will not go to hell over drugs. 98% of people who go to hell because of pride. Amen. I'm telling you, maybe some of you tonight, you'll let pride. I wouldn't let pride. I wouldn't care what anybody thought. I wouldn't let pride keep me out of heaven. Anyway, he said, "Preacher, I was driving down the road today in my truck." So I drive down the road, I turn radio stations, got XM radio, and he said, "Somebody played a 3-minute excerpt of a message preached by Lester Roloff, 3 minutes. He said, "I listened to it." He said, "I don't really know anything about Lester Roloff, but," he said, "I deal with a lot of people do. I Googled it." And he said, "When I Googled it," he said, "it pulled up," and he said, "I pulled up a message, Dr. Law and Dr. Grace."
Now, if you know anything about Lester Roloff and you know anything about God's three deadlines, J. Howe Smith, never watched, you know that Dr. Law and Dr. Grace was one of the greatest messages ever preached. He said, "Preacher, I pulled my truck over. I started listening to that message. He said, I realized I tried to keep the law. I realized I tried to do this and I tried to do that. But," he said, "Preacher, I cut my truck off. I got down in the floorboard and I asked God to save me. And he said, I got the grace of God and God changed my life."
Well, I tell you what, if we could go to church by the law, heaven by the law, there'd be a whole lot of us. Because everybody keeping them, yeah, well, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this. Please don't tag me as being somebody. I haven't changed. I haven't changed preaching since I started. Still preaching the same stuff. Some people that taught me have changed, but I haven't changed. Amen. The law made her the center of attention in her failure. I'm not going to give you all this. I just want to touch the base of it. Secondly, watch this. The legalists made her the center of attention in their findings. If the law made her the center of attention in her failure, then the legalists are making her the center of attention. And you know what they did? They went out and found her. Did they care about her? Did they want something to help her in her life? Did they want to see her change? Did they want God to do something? Absolutely not. The only thing they wanted to do is they wanted to try to trip up the Son of God and see what he would say. They didn't care about her at all. And friend, can I just say this? That's a great picture of religion today, because religion don't care about us at all. Religion's all about itself. Friend, I'm glad I got over religion a long time ago and I got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. If you look at her, the law makes things look gloomy. If you listen to the legalists, you know what they'll say? She'll never change. She's been a harlot, and that's all she's ever going to be. Matter of fact, I know what the legalists would do. Legalists just throw in the towel on her. Legalists would just say, "Oh, she don't matter. She's always lived like that. Look at us. We walk into the synagogue on Sunday or Saturday. We come in, we got everything just right. We walk in and we go through our rituals and our customs and we've got it all just right. But she's always been that way and she's always going to be that way. That's just the way she is." What they didn't realize, she may have been that way, but that ain't the way she's always going to be, because this day her life was going to change like never before. Let's be honest tonight. There's some of you sitting here. There's some people threw in the towel on you a long time ago. Oh, they ain't never going to change. Oh, they'll never go. You'll never get them in church. You'll never see them do right. But guess what, honey? What they don't realize, what man can't do, what religion can't do, what the world can't do. Hallelujah, buddy. Aren't you glad that God can do it? I'm glad God is able. Some of you ever think you'd be sitting here on Saturday night, date night, pizza night, amen, ball game night? What are you doing tonight? I'm putting on my coat and tie. I'm putting on my dress. I'm getting my Bible under my arm. I'm going down to the house of God. You know why? Because what the law couldn't do and what religion couldn't do, I'm glad, thank God, Jesus did tonight. Amen. Just a little skeleton outline here. The law made her the center of attention, S-I-N-N-E-R, in her failure. The legalists made her the center of attention in their findings. I'll tell you right now, and I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but if I see anybody, church I pastor, mistreat somebody that comes in lost. I don't care if she got on yoga britches. I don't care if they got on short shorts. I don't care what if they walk in that building lost. I want them to hear the gospel. I want them to be saved. I want God to change them. And if you look at them with disdain, or you act like you don't want them there, or you don't care about whether they're there or not, I want to say this to you right now. That would bother me to no end. Friend, Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but he come to call sinners unto repentance. And we need to preach a gospel to the lost. The legalists made her the center of attention in their findings. Watch the final thing I want to show you here. The Lord made her the center of attention in his forgiveness. Do you realize she was the center of attention the whole time? When they brought her there, they said, "We found her." When they brought her there, they said, "We know what she was doing." When they brought her there, they said, "She ought to die." When they brought her there, they said, and he stooped down and wrote. What did he write? Exactly right. It's the only thing he could write. God writing. I mean, you know, you ain't got to be deep in theology to figure that out. Right? He stooped down. You say, "Preacher, them fellows got tore up in the conscience. Wonder what he wrote." Well, they already coming in there talking about law. And law says if you got sin, like she been in, see, maybe some of them boys standing there knew who she was. Huh? Maybe some of them, because Bible said they dropped them rocks. You got to remember now. You got to remember now. Stand up here, sweetheart. You got to remember now. This Jesus, stand right here. Jesus, he ain't even looked at her yet. He's still riding. She's standing here. Now, while he's not even looking up, because Bible says he looks up. He's not even looked up yet. While she's standing there, she's watching all these boys and they all dropping rocks. And just,
that's right.
She's still standing. They drop. All of a sudden, she's standing there. And Jesus, he got up and he said, "Where are those thine accusers?" He knew where they were. They was doing what most religious people do when they get around the Holy Ghost. Running. Amen. Isn't it interesting? Religious crowd took off and the sinner, Lord, have mercy. Get out of the way. Religious crowd took off and the sinner stayed. Hey, can I tell you something? Sinners are not my problem. That crowd that comes in my church like that, they're not, they some of them respect you, they love you. But them religious folk, you know, they love God. Right? I'm talking about religion, friend. You say, "Preacher, are you telling me that religion?" Now listen, I'm telling you that Jesus wrote on the ground, and when he wrote on the ground, they left. Where are thine accusers? Get this phrase. Wasn't nobody there but her and Jesus. What's that thing in your ear? What is that? Oh, okay. All right. Praise God, man, y'all got security. Wasn't nobody there but her and Jesus. Are you listening? Did I tell you to sit down? No, I mean, did I? If I didn't, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave you. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry about that. I wasn't being mean. I mean, I just didn't know if I told you or not. I thought it'd be rude. Watch this now. I think of all the passages in the Bible. I mean, when you're caught, Jesus knew she was caught. She knew she was caught. He said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers, hath no man condemned thee? And I'm sure she looked around and she said, no man. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You say, preacher, what happened in this passage? Well, the law made her a center of attention in her failure. The legalist made her a center of attention in their findings. Everybody can always find something wrong with you. And the Lord made her the center of attention in his forgiveness. I'll say this to you tonight. You guys have been great to preach to. As a matter of fact, I've hurt myself, pulled a muscle or something. It's been great to preach to. But I want to say this to you tonight. And I'm just straight up honest. I have nobody to impress, so I'm going to say this tonight. I am amazed that God would ever let me do what I'm doing tonight. Because I know me. I know what I was. And I know what I still am. And I tell young people, everywhere I preach to young people, because I know they get so tired. I get so tired of hearing people make comments about young people. Well, I'll tell you, this generation. Bless your heart, somebody's raising them. Right? Maybe instead of condemning them, maybe we ought to try to encourage them. Maybe we ought to get them in stuff like this. And maybe instead of thinking, Lord, have mercy, they get to shouting and hollering, we'll be here all night. Maybe we ought to be glad we're here all night with them instead of a jailhouse all night with them or some drug rehab with them. Maybe we ought to be glad that God saves sinners. I'm going to say this to you. I guarantee you, almost 500 people in this auditorium, up in the balcony, down the floor, there's some folk here tonight. And you say, preacher, I'll be totally honest with you, if I died tonight, I don't know, I'd go to heaven. Well, the law, and the Bible makes it very clear that when you break God's commandment and when you sin and when you miss the mark, which is what the word sin means. I know we're living in dispensation of grace, but when you sin, in this church age, you understand that sin, the Bible says that sin condemns us, kills us. The Bible lets us know that we die in our sin, we die without God. But in this day that God's extended his grace, I don't care who you are walked in this place tonight, where you from or what you've done. God's grace is sufficient. Can I tell you, if we're not careful what we do, and I'm going to quit here. Come here, son. If we're not careful what we do, we get our Independent Baptist young people, and by the way, you look really handsome, son. We get our Independent Baptist young people, and we get them, and we start, you know, we get our little mold going. Look what I'm creating. Getting my little mold here. Yeah, that's a perfect little Independent Baptist boy. Now, he's a good young man, loves Jesus. I'm just using an example. But we get them like that. And they feel like, you know, I got to have my tie just right. I got to have my coat just right. My hair's got to be just the way. I got to carry my Bible a certain way. I got to be careful about and make sure that I don't act like I'm enjoying life, that I'm mad at everybody. I mean, if we're so right, why are we so mad about it? That sounds like liberal media instead of church folk. Amen. If you're so right, why are you so mad about it? But anyway, and what we've done is we got young people and adults sitting in our churches that have been chiseled out by man, but have never been saved by grace. I'm going to make a statement here, preacher. I'm 31 years down the road in pastor now. I think one of the hardest things for preachers to do, and I see why it's so tough in our day, we try to make goats act like sheep, and you can't do it. Goat ain't going to want to go to church. Goat ain't going to want to be told what to do. But Jesus said about sheep, they hear my voice. you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm 100% sure that I'm saved, I'm going to say to you, praise God. I'm not here to talk you out of that. I'm not here to make you doubt. The Bible says that the devil's the author of confusion. I don't want you to doubt it. Because listen, doubting Christians are struggling Christians. Doubting Christians do not have the joy they need to have. I don't want to make you doubt. I want you to be secure and excited in the Lord. I'm not here for a notch on my belt. Do you understand? I'm not here for a notch so I can say, boy, he got saved in the meeting I was in. You know, I'm glad people get saved, but that's not my purpose. But I know this. I don't want you to die and go to hell because you've been sitting in it all your life. And somebody's chiseled you, but you've never experienced grace. There's a second thing I want to say. Can Miss Victoria come to the piano, Pastor? Thank you, Pastor. There's a second thing that I want to say. Won't you listen? That's Victoria and James. They're walking. Everybody look at me just a moment. I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Here's another thing that really bothers me. Pastor Turner, well, Steve, this bothers me. I wished I could say that I've never failed God. Now, I'm just one of these people. I'm just straight up honest. I mean, I'm just that way. And sometimes it gets me in trouble. I have people in my church come to me sometimes and say, preacher, thank you for just being honest. But I'm going to be honest with you. I just haven't arrived. There are some days I struggle. Did you know I struggle doing right sometimes? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, but here's what scares me. It's almost like in fundamentalism, if somebody stumbles, falls, it's our job to tell everybody on Facebook. Because instead of being thought a fool, we can get on there and remove all doubt. It's almost like if somebody falls, we glory in it. Preacher, I don't like to see young people in my church or families struggle. I mean, you know, Miss Eve is here tonight, and she went through a tough little patch. And the reason I say this for you tonight, because we put it on Facebook for all of y'all to pray for her. I've never met a kid who loves Jesus anymore. She loves the Lord. Boy, somebody tried to turn her world upside down. And I promise you, her pastor went in a car for 6 hours with tears, thinking, devil, you can't have her. God worked some miracles, didn't he, baby? He worked some miracles. I mean, it had to have been God. Amen. There was no way it could be nothing but God. Amen. Say, preacher, when you got her back home, what'd you do? I loved her. Amen. I said I loved her. Amen. You say, oh, you're some kind of compromiser. What do you want me to do? Stomp her while she's down? Tell her how sorry she was? Friend, I'm telling you, that ain't going to work. Hey, we get it right with God, and we move on, and we go on, and we do the best we can. Hallelujah, darling. You know, but I want you over here with me. Will you come over here with me? Well, glory, I feel a little touch of heaven, preacher. Man, I was tired when I got here. I'm so glad I came. Hallelujah. Well, James, you just play when you get ready. Stand to your feet all across the auditorium. But please be quiet. Don't be getting ready to go. And bow your heads with me just a moment. How many on this main floor tonight? Or how many in the balcony tonight would say, preacher? I know 100% tonight, without a doubt. The preacher, if I were to leave this world, I'd die. I know 100% without a doubt that I'd go to heaven. How many of you slip your hand up real high as a testimony of the grace of God? Just wave it. Just wave it. Boy, that's a great sight. You can put it down. I wonder in the number this size, bottom floor full, top floor full. I wonder tonight. I wonder if there'd be somebody tonight who'd say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. Preacher, I know about it. Preacher, I know about it. But preacher, just be honest. I don't know for sure, and I'm tired of doubting, and I'm tired of struggling. And I want to get it settled. Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up right now, balcony down the bottom floor, just slip it up. I want to pray for you right now. I'm not coming to you, just want to pray for you. Hold it up where I can see it. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. Thank you, young man. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. There be someone else tonight, preacher. If I die tonight, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me, preacher? Would you just slip your hand up? I want to pray for you tonight. Thank you, sir. Would there be somebody else tonight? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray right now. Slip it up. Preacher, remember me. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm ready to meet God. Don't want to die without him. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up right now? Let me pray. Would you do it right now? Come on. Just do it right now. Care enough about your own soul. Thank you, young man. Care enough about your own soul to slip that hand up right now. Let me pray for you. Would you do it? I still feel like somebody else. Would you do it? Thank you. Thank you, sweetie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody else? Somebody else? Thank you, young man. Father, I plead the blood over these that need to be saved. Get assurance of it. God, I can't go any farther. It takes your drawing power. Holy Ghost is the only one who can change anybody. So God, I plead the blood right now. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood over every sinner. I got one more question. Anyone here tonight that would say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know I am. But I feel like I failed the Lord. Sometimes I get down on myself and I feel like, could God ever use me again? I feel like sometime, preacher, that I just feel like, preacher, sometime that I've been a failure as a Christian. And preacher, I want my joy back. I want to get my harp out of the willow tree. Preacher, I want God to do something in my life. I don't want to finish without finishing on fire and loving him. I just need some help tonight. Preacher, I'm saved, but well, I feel like I failed the Lord in some areas of my life and I need some help. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up real high? That's too many tonight for me to even count. And I appreciate your honesty. You can put it down. Miss Victoria is going to sing a song. And while she's singing this song, if you raised your hand tonight and you're serious about it, if you raise your hand tonight and you're serious about it, whether it's for salvation or whether it's just to come and say, "God, I don't want to fail you. I feel like I have. I need you to help me. I want to be a better Christian for you." While she's singing, I want you to come out of the balcony. There are probably 30 hands up there. I want you to come to this bottom floor. People are coming right now. I don't want you to wait on anybody. This is not about you waiting on anybody. I want you to mind the Lord. Miss Robin, I need your help right here with Miss Elizabeth. I know she's struggling with salvation. Let's get it settled tonight. Needs to get saved right over there, right there beside Miss Elizabeth. Miss Victoria's going to sing. There's all kind of room. They're coming. Look, I'm telling folks coming out of the balcony, all around this auditorium. You just mind God tonight. You just mind God tonight, Miss Victoria. Hallelujah. Just keep coming.
As I sit and think about the wrongs I've done.
Hallelujah.
So many I can't begin to tell.
Just keep on coming, that's right.
The hurt, the pain that I have.
Miss Wendy, that lady in the red dress, you can pray with her. That's right, boys. Come on.
Deserve to be.
Ain't no throwaways in this building. Ain't no throwaways in this building.
I fell slow. could surely fall.
Hallelujah.
And I did everything I could to hurt your name.
Amen, sir.
I caused many tears.
Brother Jeremy, could you pray with this dear gentleman right here?
From your
just come near right there, sir.
Oh, but Jesus,
can you pray with him, preacher?
You
do you know him?
Me still
would you pray with
same.
Him, sir? He lifted his hand back. Salvation, would you pray with him?
Jesus, how could you have loved me?
You see somebody around you, made her stick their hand up. So many people, I don't know where everybody's at. If you youth worker, you're pastor, you see somebody come down, think you need to come pray with them, I'd come pray with them. I believe without a doubt this man was ordained of God. I believe that. Hallelujah. You see where they're at tonight, church? Young people in an altar saying, God, we want to love you. We want to serve you. The devil doesn't have all our kids. Don't you believe that lie? Amen, Pastor. Just come on and help them tonight. That's right.
Jesus, how could you have loved me so?
Just play soft with our brother James. I still feel like there might be somebody in this auditorium. And maybe somewhere down the line something went wrong in your Christian life. I'm not condoning it. I'm not telling you that we want to do that. But just maybe somewhere down the line something went wrong. And you know that you want to get your joy back. The Bible said that Israel hung their heart in the willow trees. They lost their joy. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Maybe tonight there's somebody. I just want to sing another verse. And maybe there's somebody. You come in here tonight and you say, preacher, it's time I got my joy back. It's time I got my joy back. Hey, can I tell you what? This preacher, that pastor, we're not here to condemn you tonight. I don't have a rock to throw. I dropped that rock a long time ago. When I realize I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Amen. If anybody else needs to come, plenty of room. Plenty of room. Why don't you come? Right now while she's singing, just slip out. Grab somebody's hand. Say, would you go pray with me? But why don't you come tonight? God's here. Let him help you. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, do what's well just to get clean with the Lord.
I've broken every one of your great laws.
Amen.
And many times your spirit I have grieved.
Sister Paquette, you help her tonight. Did you help her tonight?
Why a holy God as you would even take the time to hear a prayer from me. But yet you took the time to complete salvation's plan. So forever in heaven I will be. Jesus, how could you have loved me so?
Thank you, Brother Jeremy. Hallelujah.
So very low, 'cause I did every wrong I could, and nothing that I should. Jesus, how could you?
Brother Shelton to come. I want to say this to all of you. Too.